Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. Did you finish your shopping and everything?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I did get a lot of it done. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I am so sick of brick and mortar. Like, I can't take it. I feel badly because I know that brick and mortar stores, especially like the smaller shops, are suffering because of the fact that a lot of people do so much shopping online. And I really, really do want to go to these stores and support them. But unfortunately, I can't bring myself to do it. I just can't. It has nothing to do with price. I can't stand the people. So not to get myself in a bad mood. Yeah, not to get myself into a bad mood about it. I'm just going to go, hey, you know what? I'm just going to do it online at my leisure and be happy with the company I'm with.
Right. And sometimes, you know, if the local stores do have a website, then we can buy locally via the website. You know, it's not that I don't have time to go 2 miles down the
line.
That
but that I don't mind.
Right. Then I'll order. I know I never go to the stores. When I do go to stores, it's like once every 6 months. And I look at it and I feel like I'm in Disney World. I go, store? This is what people do?
Yeah.
They go to store. They can
stuff.
They can touch the stuff.
Put it this way, I kid you not, I went last weekend to do some Christmas shopping, okay? At least I did pretty good at, like, Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, I mean, for other people, of course. You know, we did pretty good at Bed Bath & Beyond. We did pretty good, you know, at a couple of the other places, you know, because we went really, really late right before store closing, you know? So it was just one of those things where it was just kind of like, let's go when, like, everybody's pretty much gone, you know? And then we went into, like, in the middle of the afternoon, don't ask me why, we went to Macy's. And I kid you not, I figured while I was Christmas shopping, you know, we have our company Christmas party. I need to find a dress for the Christmas party, as did she. So we're sitting there trying to shop, and people, women, friggin' animals, absolute animals. Like, they're ripping stuff out from, like the bottom sweater on a pile, just tossing it aside if it's not what they wanted. Like, never mind even attempting to fold it. Just toss it aside, you know? I mean, ripping stuff from one rack, just throwing it, not even on another rack's, like pole, but just draped over another rack where it doesn't even belong. Like none of the sizes made a difference. Like, it was just, things were everywhere. The staff could not even keep up with it. The staff literally just threw their arms up and said, we'll clean it later. Because if we clean it now, it's just going to be that way in 10 minutes. And they were right.
Wow. Well, you know, we'll our message here. Be considerate in the stores. And, you know, that's why I used to not like Christmas, because I always worked a lot of hours and I was an entertainer. So Christmas time was a lot of parties that I had to go to. And it would be just on top of being overstressed, working like long days, I'd have to have the pressure of shopping. So I'd always end up having like a total exhaustion complex, which means somewhere around the few days after Christmas, I couldn't even get out of bed. I was so exhausted. So now that I do the online shopping and it comes to me, and I shop like end of the day when I'm tired and it feels like fun, I don't mind it. I like giving people gifts. I just don't like going to the store. So, you know, Now I'm a little bit happier
much.
Online shopping. So let's just hope everybody else has gotten their shopping done and they're enjoying the holidays. And we do have to remind people that we have 2 weeks off because we have Christmas Eve next week, New Year's Eve next week, and TJ and I are going to be going to a very nice place locally where they can have the 70s band, and we'll be dancing, and we're going to have a great time on New Year's
Eve. Nice!
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that. So that's the good news. Also, someone sent me an email today, said to Nicole and Cindy, and her name was Jacqueline, and she had called on November 12th asking, her divorce was being dragged out for years and years and years. And
I remember this.
She didn't see the ending of it. And remember we said, sometime around December, you're going to try to close it up before this new year. That judge has to close it all up. And
lo and behold.
And as a matter of fact, she said she would call in and she's here. So I'm going to let her tell the story. She's the 650 number. Can you see it all the way down? Because I didn't see her calling in, but now she is. I'd love her to tell the story rather than me.
All right.
So
we will go straight there. And you know what? While you guys are chatting there, I will put my little butt into the chat room, and I will start queuing up the next caller.
Hello?
Hi, Jacqueline. You're live and on the air. So I was giving a little heads up that you were so worried about that divorce and how long it was going to take. So maybe you can put the happy ending on this.
It's over! Yay!
Hooray! Hooray!
It was just dragging on for the longest time, and finally, and you were right. It's sometimes you said that I would get a word about it or final judgment sometime December, perhaps early January at the latest. And, and just like 2.5 weeks ago, I finally got an email from my lawyer, and she said it's done, and I'm just ecstatic.
Wow.
Ecstatic.
It felt like it was never going to happen, but, what I saw very clearly in your cards is that, this case has been way too dragged out. Just simply the judges have to close up some of these. That it's simple.
Yeah.
They have to, because they're held accountable for, if too many, divorces or any kind of cases remain unclosed from 1 year to the next, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of
scurry
at this time of year to just close up a lot of that are relatively easier that should have been closed already. So
thank goodness.
And of course, Spirit Guides had to put your case to the top of the scurryings. And once you called for guidance, it appeared that your Spirit Guide somehow got your case pushed forward. So that's why when we ask for help, the universe helps. They really do say, okay, you've had enough. And it just looks wonderful, for you in the upcoming year now. It looks like you've gotten rid of a lot of the baggage. Now it's, full steam ahead.
Definitely. It feels like all that old baggage is now gone and just cut. All those little threads are even gone. I feel good. I feel
good.
Ecstatic.
And I will tell you this. You are not only opening up a new year with 2016, but I don't think I've ever seen the particular arrangement of cards that I've seen right now, because there's ace cards. There's four ace cards in a tarot deck. Okay, now my phone reading or my reading when I'm pulling the cards is a little bit of a rigged deck. It has a certain amount of doubles just because I want to be sure, because you're not pulling the cards that they're accurate. All I kept pulling was ace cards, Ace of Pentacles, better money, which means now that your divorce is through, God can give you the abundance, because you don't want, your ex taking you back to court because suddenly you're making more money while you're still married.
That's right.
Abundance. I got the Ace of Wands, peaceful thoughts. I got the Ace of Cups, new love coming.
Woody.
Your cards are phenomenal. Out of 8 cards, not one negative card. The first card I pulled, though, was the Star card, which is a woman. It's a pretty card, but she has a naked body, which signifies you all by your naked self have everything you need to survive. You had a lot of courage when you were little. Go forward with this new journey, this new adventure as a single woman with, joy. I remember the first year I divorced and I was living in my co-op. I felt like Marlo Thomas and That Girl. I was like, yes, I'm That Girl. I felt like light and happy and made it a home. So know that this is finally what you've been waiting for, but nothing is negative in your card. So that's why I really wanted you to call in to see that that chapter of your life is closed, this new one's about to open up. A little bit of standing on your own 2 feet for a while, which is important. And then everything else will change all for the better. So
yeah. Okay.
We're so happy for you. I mean, this is really going to be
ecstatic.
This is going to be your like amazing year. I always look back on 2004, the year that I divorced, as like a phenomenal year. You know, it's not always easy the first year of divorce. I remember I used to dream about my husband almost every night, which I thought was really odd. But what I learned was, you know, just because we get a piece of paper signed doesn't mean all the ties that bind us to these people. We have some energetic cords that need cutting. And,
yes.
You know, so, you know, expect a little of that, but that's normal. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have done this. This is not what we should have done. It just means, you know, the soul has some work to still do to just tie up loose ends or cut things. So it's an interesting year. You might want to keep a journal. Anybody getting a divorce, keep a journal the first year. It's really interesting to watch the progress and see how you're changing and look back. But, you know, I remember you were saying in your email you sort of were going to try to cut out of work because you're in California, which is like Pacific time still.
Yeah, it is. It's just, I don't know, what is it, 5 or 10 past 4 right now? So I'm okay.
Right. So
it's all right.
So you snuck out just to, like, do this with us. Just
come
to
talk to you. Yeah,
it's fine.
No, I feel good. I feel really great. And my anxiety level has really come down a lot in the past couple of weeks. It really has.
And as it should. And anxiety is always like when you don't know where something's going to go or not go. I mean, you know.
Right.
And that's why sometimes getting a good tarot card reading, one good tarot card reading is worth 20 years of therapy. Being reassured things are moving along is, you know, really my job. My job is to keep people optimistic and hopeful. Sometimes my job is to, you know, give hard messages that really are ultimately one of hope, even though it may not sound like it. So, you know, your email just made me happy. And, you know, I had done a reading for someone not that long ago, and she was fighting me tooth and nail. And she's a pretty, you know, a powerful woman and, you know, somewhat well-known. And she was fighting me tooth and nail the whole reading and kept saying I was wrong, you know, that no other psychics were telling her this. And I go, well, stop running from psychic to hear what you want to hear.
Exactly.
Okay? But I'm not backing down on it. And she called me the other day to, you know, apologize and said, you know, you were the only one who was right. And I was like, well, I wasn't going to back down. I have this theory, and Nicole knows it. You're going to hate me for telling you the truth right now, but you'll like me 2 months from now when you know it's truth, or you're going to love me now and I'm lying, and you're going to hate me 2 months from now. So I'd rather you hated me now and love me later. You know, if you're going to hate me because I tell truth, I can deal with that. So, you know, I needed your email today to hear it. Wow, this is great.
Good.
It played out. She's happy because so much of it is like my joy in doing this is watching people's lives get so much better, watching people who were sad or stuck in bad relationships, either with their children or their mates, and
watch them
almost look old and ready to die, and watch 2 years later, they look 20 years younger, they're happy, they've moved on, they're peaceful. Like, that's what it's about. It's about, and I could see the physical changes in people. Now, you I haven't seen, but, you know, I bet you you're even looking better. Do you feel like you're looking better?
Yes, I have a couple of friends that have told me you're glowing now. Your skin looks so good. My skin's looking better, I guess. And I'm feeling better. I'm getting better sleep and more of it. And just the anxiety level has diminished tremendously over the past couple of weeks or so. And
And that feels wonderful and liberating.
Oh, it
sure
does.
And by the way, I'm going to share this with our listeners. There is a book club that's a narcissist support group kind of book club on the internet. And I was so honored that I was their November book of the month. And I thought, isn't that great? Why good people can't leave bad relationships. Good. It's helping people. They're moving forward. And, you know, I just found it, you know, so wonderful that the book is helping people. So, you know, there's always help for people, whether it's a book you pick up, a friend that you talk to, you know, calling in our show, you know, speaking to a therapist, just whatever help is out there for you, you know, in 2016, if those listeners are not in a happy place or not in their happy place, make it so by this time next year, you are in that happy place. So you do have to make changes. You do have to, a divorce is an earthquake. Are you in agreement with that? It's an earthquake.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and a tsunami thrown in at the same time. It's not easy, but it is one of the
it
best.
It's not easy.
Nope.
And it was so hard when I started this journey a couple of years ago, and it was so hard. I cried all the time, and I remember talking to you as well in a private reading, and you gave me a lot of hope, Art, and I truly appreciate everything you've said to me and the support.
And
I really
obviously,
do. You and Nicole.
You listen. You know what I mean? I tell you, if you want your life to change, you know, I've been doing this 20 years. There's a lot of tried and true things I have found in the 20 years. And especially if spirit comes through to help, just trust it. Even if it doesn't sound like
just
what you want to do, just trust it. Go with it. Go with
That's
the
right.
flow.
I'm so sorry, but I always said a year ago, I just stop trying to control the situation. Just let go and let God. And sure enough, things started to fall into place. It takes time. It takes patience, but it happens. And it's what is meant to be for you for the better will happen. You just need to stop being a control freak. And that's
now,
what I
thank
had to
you.
Learn to do.
Thank
I
you.
I had
because,
to learn to let it go.
Right. Older souls by nature are control freaks. And with good reason. We dot our I's, we maintain our papers, and we're careful, we're cautious. We're pretty good one-man bands running stuff. But part of our lesson is it's an illusion we're in control of anything. Be careful, be cautious, then let go and let God. You've done, when we've done all we can, when we've laid the seed, when we've done the foundation, when we've done all we could, then we need to be patient. And, you know, one of the karmic lessons for most people is patience. Another one is endurance and perseverance. Okay? God is trying to prove we can persevere. We can endure. And, you know, if you're going to resist the lessons in endurance, God's just going to keep giving you one thing after another. And I hate it for it to be the cancer endurance test. Let's not get the cancer endurance test. I don't want the cancer endurance test, okay? I'll endure other stuff. So somewhere along the line, God teaches us you have to stop thinking you're in control of everything because
you're not.
And it's an illusion that we are. And the sooner we let go of the illusion, life gets a lot easier. You know you've done what you needed to do. That's all you can do. You can't do anything else. And there's a certain amount of peace in that. And
there is.
And the fear and the anxiety and the fear level goes down when you stop thinking it's your job to control everything and fix everything.
That's
the world sucked before I came on the planet. It's going to suck after I leave. I'm doing the best I can to make a little dent in it. But I've given up the illusion that I'm responsible for everything. I'm not. I can't be.
Mm-hmm.
But the little bit of the world we make better is all we're asked to do. And, you know, I'm so happy for you because there's a lot of listeners out there getting divorces. And believe me, sometimes it gets so hard, they almost want to go back. Just, okay, I'm going to stop the divorce. I'm just going to go back because this is
not
too hard. And those are the people
and
we
the
need
one
to...
thing, I'm sorry again.
Go ahead.
And I have a bunch of younger women that I work with. They're in their 20s, 30s, and they have their ups and downs with their relationships and stuff, and some of them are getting married and that, and I have said to them, never lose respect for yourself, never.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you're in, your future spouse, friendships, you know, co-workers and stuff, just never, ever lose respect for yourself.
Right, and learn that people will treat you the way you allow them. I take full responsibility that I allowed my husband to get away with murder, my first husband, because I did not put my foot down. I was damaged goods from my childhood. I had no self-love, no self-esteem, and just permitted it. And permitted. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. We permitted it because we associated love with pain and abuse. With people controlling us and bossing us, and we're so busy wanting them to love us, and we do everything to please them and people please and don't rock the boat. It doesn't go anywhere. So, you know, love is about equals and peace and joy. And really hard lessons to learn, but what was channeled to me, and I think you're going to love this, is the greatest love affairs are happening to women 50 and over because they finally get it.
Yeah, it's true. I get it.
They
get
it
now. And the thing is that you have to learn to love yourself. You have to. And I've learned that. And I still have a ways to go, a lot more, some more healing, but now it's more like learn to more to forgive myself to by putting up with 19 years of that kind of marriage.
Right. And I love the way you say forgive yourself because we're not back on earth to learn how to forgive others, older souls. By nature, we forgive too easily and too often without doing the true steps of forgiveness. We forgiveness doesn't mean you keep hurting me. Forgiveness means you recognize you've done something wrong. The real lesson we're here is to learn to forgive ourselves because older souls never forgive themselves. They are so hard on themselves.
I'm very much so. So
I'm always telling people, you know, you don't kick yourself in the head for having blinders on and for being too good and too nice and too loyal and a crap taker, okay? Jesus called us in Aramaic the great crap takers. Sounded nicer in Aramaic, but it translates to crap takers, you know, and for being the crap takers. That's what older souls are. But once you stop doing that, and you'd be surprised how the world starts bringing, you know, more genuinely good people into your life, and life gets really easier and better. And even those people who might have abused you in the past, if for some reason they still have to be in your life, they stop that too. So it amazes me how just changing your attitude and changing, you know, coming to that place of self-love, where you love yourself the way you love your children, makes all the difference in the world. And it doesn't mean you're a narcissist. There's a whole difference between a narcissist and someone who has self-love. Self-love is just, you know, I matter, and my feelings matter. And, you know, it's a journey. That's why divorce is a spiritual journey. It's a soulful journey. It's a journey into self-love. And if you get through it and you don't get bitter, because there's plenty of women and men that get bitter. Once you start getting bitter, and you start saying, this is not what I wanted, I didn't want this, forget about it. I don't care who left who or what's it, it's over. So move on. And it's not playing victim. Do you see how you're not playing victim?
I'm not. Not at all. I'm not, no.
And it feels so great, doesn't it?
Oh, it does feel great. It does feel great.
Well,
it really does.
Good luck to him. We're going to try to get some other callers tonight because we're not going to be
here
for a while. So
I'll keep in touch.
Thank you so much. We love you and have a wonderful, wonderful new year. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Aww.
Oh, isn't she sweet? Didn't you love that over the years?
She's adorable.
You know,
I love it.
And I remember her first when she was getting the divorce years ago. She was so scared and like kind of a little bit second guessing and kind of, you know, all those things that we do when we should leave a relationship. And yet she heard what I was saying. She listened. She got it. It went through her and changed. And this is what I love to hear. I love to see the person after it. And that's the reward in this. And that's why I love when people are, something good happened and they call us. Don't you love that?
Yes, I do.
Because this time of year, by the way, to be a psychic medium, brutal. Well, first of all, you would think it would slow down, like people would be busy with the holiday. No, because sad. They're missing people. They're lonely. They're sad. And they cry really hard. Like I think we went through three boxes of tissues, a three-tissue box day. They cry. And
I don't like that.
You know, and it's sad. And they're happy to hear from those who've crossed over. And then on top of it, the dead are sad. They miss Christmas. They miss Hanukkah. They miss New Year's. They're sad. So I go, I said from above, you people above have to stop being sad. You know, because I can't listen to both ends of you being sad. And it's just sort of kind of a sentimental, nostalgic time for people. And, you know, I also have to remind those people getting a divorce who feel really bad if it's their first or second, you know, Christmas without their, husband or their family. I go, let's not go back into, the ghost of Christmas past and suddenly the ghost of Christmas past was good. No, it wasn't good. You know, it's an illusion that the family was happy, and you're missing the illusion of a happy family. But you're not really missing that family or that person. So
no.
Because people start getting really like, maybe I shouldn't have. And I'm like, really? Think back to 2 Christmases ago. How happy? Well, I wasn't happy.
Yeah,
it was horrible. So you can see how we can, you know, we have to be careful not to rewrite history.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, you've done some screening, so let me know what's going on here. Boy, we
have
a lot of listeners.
Yes, we do. All right, we're going to go over to Minnesota right now, and we're going to speak to Julie, and Julie is brand new to our show, Cindy.
Oh, good.
So I kind of gave her the whole rundown of the show, and Julie is, you know, she seems a little bit sad right now because, unfortunately, her daughter has gone through a terrible, terrible breakup. You know, from her love of 6 years. And Julie's just very, very concerned about her daughter tonight. And, you know, aww, she wants to know, you know, how exactly is that going to go and how will her daughter be? So let's speak to Julie in Minnesota. Hello, Julie, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good. Oh, Julie, you're the kind of mom, if you could take your daughter's pain, you would take it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, high school.
Oh, you would remove it from her, but how old is she now?
Now 24, but she was starting at, this is the only one she's ever dated, so 16 to 23.
And
there's engagement things going on.
Well, he got scared. He got scared. Relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles, so around the 5-year mark, you know, now they've been going for a while, now we got to take it to the next step, marriage, you know, engagement, marriage, children. He ran away afraid, this guy. It's not that he doesn't love her. He just really got scared. He's got some issues. Do you know him well? Because there's a number of issues here showing up.
I didn't realize he was like that, yeah.
Got a lot of issues. And, you know, do you know his parents, by the way?
Not really.
Okay, because, you know, they had a lot of ups and downs in their marriage. I don't know if you know that. And does your daughter ever talk about that family with you? Does she know them?
No, the dad, the mom was working a lot as a nurse. And after 6 years, you think you'd know them. We were just starting to say, we got to get to know them because of marriage and things. But no, I don't really know them. I just know. I ran into her at a store and they were talking bad about my daughter. And that stuff they're starting to talk bad about her.
They're just not nice people is what I'm trying to tell you. Now, think about it. You know, if this were my son and he's dating a girl for 6 years, wouldn't I want to know what house he's going to? Like, is this the Addams family, a crazy family? Is it a nice family he's going to? Wouldn't I want to know you and open up? They're not very nice people, by the way. They're very dysfunctional. You know, the mother does not want him to be happy, believe it or not. Now, that sounds so hard for you who would want nothing more than your daughter's happiness to hear this. Actually, a woman who's jealous that her son had a soulmate, and they were soulmates. They had a heart, soul, mind, body connection, these two, that they loved each other, and that he was putting your daughter above his mother, which is correct. It's his soulmate. He should, you know, she should come first. His mother would prefer he married somebody he didn't love all that much, so she could come first. She was sabotaging some of this, and, you know, it's very sad because suddenly the mother's giving him attention. Somebody she's ignored since he was, like, 8 years old. Now she's paying attention. But, you know, your daughter's very hurt because she really didn't do anything wrong, and you know that. And what excuse did he say to her that he doesn't want to?
He told her he was, I don't know, just needed time and stuff, and now they're saying she's was dating somebody and sleeping with people, and it's like,
yeah,
my daughter never.
Yeah, yeah. What I needed you to know is he's just like, you know, what he saw his parents doing, you know, having the cake and eat it too. He got scared. He's been seeing other people. Now I want you to love yourself and, you know, love your daughter. I mean, he could have brought her venereal disease. It's not a joke that he was cheating. And it's better she knows it now. And sometimes you have to trust in the universe this guy has gotten away with cheating on her because your daughter's a very nice person. She sees the good in everybody. She believes everybody's like her. She trusts. She didn't check up on him, which are very nice Christian traits, not very Christ-like, because Jesus would say, start seeing the world for what it is. And
right.
Your mom is gone, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, because your mom misses you very much. Do you miss her?
Oh, yes.
Okay, your mom says, you have to forgive me, but we did what we had to do to make sure she didn't marry him. Now, what does that mean to me? It means they knew he was cheating, and yet it would be just like somebody he'd be with one or two times. It wasn't anything important. It wasn't going to threaten his relationship with your daughter. They had to bring him in alignment with a girl who would really try to entrap him, get him to be with her, so that he would get away from her. And even though this looks bad, he would have married her and cheated on her. Better let him go marry this girl so he doesn't love her all that much. He can cheat on her. He won't feel guilty. He'll relive his parents' dysfunctional marriage with her. Better to do it with her than your daughter, don't you think?
Well, Cindy, you just hit everything on the nail.
You know what I'm talking about.
Just real quick, I was at a store, and she's telling me that my daughter's doing this and doing that, and I'm just like, in the middle of a store in front of people, and I'm just like, what? You know? But everything you see is just right on.
So you know what I'm saying. As bad as it looks today, your mother said she would not let your daughter walk down the aisle with that lying, cheating son of a bitch, okay? So it's very easy to entrap the unfixables, and unfixables are people who are narcissists, who manipulate and judge others. Very easy to dangle something in front of them, a woman, money. They'll take it because they're greedy, they're selfish, and they have no conscience. They couldn't dangle a really better man in front of your daughter because she's loyal, she's trustworthy. So know that your daughter is going to be granted another soulmate, one who's loyal, trustworthy, will appreciate her, a loving guy. She just is having the rude awakening about the world. And, you know, we all have to learn it sooner than later. 7 out of 10 people aren't very fixable. They lie, they manipulate, and they hurt. And it's painful to see it. But better she learns it now than if she married him, had babies, and then, you know, had to be divorced from him. You would not want your grandchildren going over that household. Let me tell you that, without you there or her. So, better. Who drinks too much in that family? Do you know? Do you know if he drinks? Because he's an alcoholic in these cards.
I'm not sure because they've been apart for a year. He really was. He drank, but not, I don't know.
He's drinking a lot, this guy. So, now
well,
on top of it, he's drinking. Would you want him to be an alcoholic, driving your grandchildren under the influence? Because this guy seems to have really... You know, I don't know if there's drugs involved here, too. There's just, he's not the same guy. Like, you don't want your daughter with him. If he comes back, you know, and he might, maybe, you know, he'll come back because, you know, he realizes how good she is. She wants him. Know that he is not going to change, this guy. He is really not going to change. I mean, unless he, you know, if she were to ever go back with him, he needs therapy. And without therapy, he is never going to change. And, you know that he's hurt her a lot. He disappeared from her life. He's broken her heart. But for your daughter, just know that your mother, who loves you, and she's a very, very, very nice woman, by the way, she's thanking me very much. They have a soulmate pick for your daughter. Are you Norwegian or what nationality are you?
Norwegian. Yeah.
You're Norwegian. That's what I thought because she's a very nice Norwegian woman. My mother was Finnish. So I'm pretty good at recognizing the Finns and the Norwegians up there. And, you know, she's just wanted you to know that's her because she said if she said Norwegian, you know it's definitely your mother. That she promises that they will bring a wonderful, wonderful love to your daughter. Wonderful love.
Okay. Thank you, because I've been watching her hurt so bad the last year, Cindy.
I know. Now, when Jesus got in trouble for his big mouth, and he had a big mouth, aggravated everybody, he didn't say, Mommy, Mary, carry my cross. He had to carry his own, and when he couldn't carry it, God sent Simon to help. Your daughter needs a Simon, somebody to help her, because you can't fully carry this cross or help her. you know, does she have friends? Does she have someone who, you know, she turns to besides you to help her?
Yes.
Good. I mean, yes. We can't always be the one to help our children all the way. You can love her. You can be there. But, you know that she has to learn this. She absolutely has to learn this. Do you know who Tom is? A man named Tom. You know, Tom is on the other side, and I think he knows your daughter's ex. I think he's a family friend or a member but saying you really wouldn't want your daughter in that family. So, you know, just consider it a blessing. That
we didn't really know him. But,
right.
You know.
So I don't think you would know who this man is, but, you know, he's confirming what your mother's saying. You know, and this is somebody on the ex's side. Because you can imagine this thing. You don't want your daughter with him. Your mom is crying a little bit. She misses the holidays. She misses being near you very much. And she was a hardworking woman. Do you remember that about her?
Yes. I just want to make sure with my mom that my mother-in-law just passed away a month and a half ago. And she was...
Okay. Now, we have your mom, and now... Your mother-in-law adores the grandmother of adores your daughter. Do you know that?
Oh yes, she was her only grandchild.
Oh my God!
That would,
okay.
She would no. She had other ones, but she was the only one that did things with her.
She loves her. Okay. Now you've got two grandmothers on the other side, claiming they're bringing a soulmate to your daughter. Your mother-in-law is thanking you because you take good care of her son and because you were very good to her at the end, by the way. And you were always good to her. She made a nice transition, by the way, to the other side. She didn't want to be here anymore. She didn't want to be a burden to people. Did you know that about her? She said, I couldn't be a burden.
Well, she had started to get dementia, and she broke her hip. And
she didn't want to be a burden. She would rather, you're an old soul, she's an old soul. When older souls become a burden, they can't help, and they, you know, they don't want people wiping their butt, going into debt to take care of them. You know, she's happy. Your husband's father is gone, by the way?
Yes. Yeah, we've been taking, because he was gone 18 years, we've been taking care of Betty, his mother, for 18 years because she was legally blind. She couldn't drive, so we took care of her for all this time.
And his father is thanking you very much, by the way, for taking care of my Betty. And, you know, did you know your father-in-law?
Not that well. He died in 6 years of our marriage, and so I didn't know him that well.
He wasn't the easiest person to get to know, by the way.
No.
He wasn't the easiest man to get to know. He has watched over you and the children for the last 18 years. According to him, your mother and him were the ones that engineered your daughter's boyfriend to do what he did to get him away. They knew what he was cheating. They knew all this. It's very painful to watch from the other side, people lying and cheating and hurting.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, they got to figure out what they can do. I mean, if your daughter were to examine it, part of why she's so upset and mad is sometimes she suspected things. Sometimes she would ask him, and he would lie right to her face. Do you know that? He would lie right to her. And
yeah,
she trusted him.
He was, he pretended he was such a sweet guy, we all thought. And all of a sudden,
he's the most dangerous narcissist of all, because the sweet ones are the ones we don't see coming. The son of a bitches we see coming. The sweet ones we don't know what hit. So know that nobody really knows that boy. And, just to let you know, he's the kind of guy that will regret for the rest of his life what he did. Because he's not going to be granted another soulmate anytime soon, if ever. But he has to relive his parents' dysfunctional marriage. So better he does it with this girl than with your daughter. Because it's going to be a mess. And, your daughter will help find somebody else. And, you know, I'm so glad you called in, because your mother-in-law seems to be really happy just to say hello to you and speak to you and let you know she's on the other side. And, you know, you'll get a pretty clear sign from her in a day or two. She'll give you a message that you'll be able to see.
I I appreciate everything you said. You really helped me with the holidays coming. You don't know how much.
Oh, good. And that's what we're here for. And you could see you're crying. Remember I just said before your call, it's a hard time of year because fake the dead cry, the living cry. But maybe we're just supposed to appreciate life more. We're supposed to realize that, you know, life is precious. We can't waste it with people who are going to hurt us. And just know that, I mean, he could resurface this guy. And, you know, your father-in-law just came through to say, we scream in his ears, if you can't come back and be a good guy to this girl, you leave her alone. You might want to tell your daughter the greatest act of love this son of a bitch did was leave her alone. Let him torture another woman. Your daughter's too nice a woman to abuse. He's got very big anger issues, this guy. He needs somebody to rage with behind closed doors and look normal in the outside world. He didn't like being mean to your daughter, but he's mean to the woman he's with, really mean. So know that these are things that help you to hear it. You're very loved from above, by the way. Your mom's up there baking something or other. Did she like to bake, your mother?
She's
up there showing me if she were down on earth, she'd be baking cookies and everything for the holidays. And do you cook any of her, you bake any of her recipes?
A few, yes. Yeah.
Okay, because she expects like you to make something that she would have made for the holidays. I'm just laughing. And what you'll feel is if you're baking something that she did, you'll almost feel her hands coming through you and you'll channeling her yourself. So it's a really interesting thing to do, to feel someone that closely. And she would love you to feel her that closely.
Thank you. Is there a way I can get a hold of you to get a private reading?
Oh, sure. Sometimes? You can go to my website, which is Grant, G-R-A-N-T, grantmeahigherlove.com. And, you know, you can just email me.
Okay.
Well,
I appreciate
contact
it.
Cindy there. Oh, you're welcome. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Bye. Now, we really needed Norwegian because, you know, those are the St. Nicholas and, you know, Kris Kringle and all of that. Don't you think, Meenie, but isn't it funny how her mother made
awesome.
Isn't it funny that her mother made sure that I knew she was Norwegian? She was like,
yep.
Because, you know, it's funny because, you know, being that I'm half Finnish, you know, the Norwegians, the Finns, they always liked each other. You know, they kind of have this kind of affinity. So all of a sudden I felt my mother came through laughing when, you know, then my mother, who had not the most warm personality, just came through quickly to smile and laugh about the Norwegian thing because, you know, her friends are always Norwegian. So I find this, what we do for this for a living is kind of amusing, don't you think? You never know who shows up.
Exactly.
Now, you have Anne. Now, who's Anne?
Okay. Well, Anne is in New York, Cindy, and it's that time of year. We always tell everybody, and unfortunately, that, you know, our 2016 readings are being cut short by the fact that we have 2 weeks off this year because of the holiday. So Anne is actually our first Cindy. What is going to happen to me in 2016? So she's just looking for general, anything positive, anything wonderful, anything for Anne to look forward to, she wants to hear about.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
I love it. Yes.
Great.
So let's go and speak to Anne in New York. Hello, Anne. You are on the air.
Hi. How are you? This is Anne.
Hi, Anne. So you're kind of wondering what this New Year is going to ring in, and it's a very good time for a reading, a new year. Are you glad 2015 is coming to a close, by the way?
Yeah, I didn't think it was so bad, though.
Okay, good. Because your cards look actually very good for the upcoming year, by the way.
Okay.
Some changes. Are you ready for some changes? Because it looks like it's time for changes. And,
like what?
Nothing bad, though. Nothing bad. I mean, a little bit more money. Are you happy with what you're doing for a living? Because there's a little, Ace of Pentacles is a good money card. So are you happy with your job?
Well, I'm not working right now. I stay home.
Okay. And there's a little bit more money in the future. Do you have a husband that works right now?
Yeah, he works, yeah.
Okay. A little bit more money that might be coming from him, but there's a possibility of some source of income even for you. So it might be something you'll do from the home. You have two kids or three?
Three.
Okay, because two of the kids look a little easier to take care of than one of them. Do you know which child's been referring to that's a little more difficult?
Yes.
Okay. But it looks like this year even that will calm down a bit. You're a very good mother, by the way. Do you know that?
Oh, thanks.
Okay, good mother.
I try, but I don't know if my husband agrees.
Okay. Well, that's because he's not with them all day, okay? You know, being a stay-at-home mom is not an easy job. You know that.
Yeah.
And this year looks like a little bit more time for something for you. Do you have any time at all for you?
Sometimes. I mean, my husband isn't so bad. Sometimes he takes the kids with him, so.
Okay.
Like,
well,
what do you mean by that?
You need a little time out. You guys also need some time to be alone, because I got the lover card. Do you guys have any time alone with each other?
Not really.
Okay. Now, do you remember when you first met your husband really loving this guy?
Yeah.
When you first met him, okay. And, you know, now you guys are a little bit taking each other for granted. And, you know, you want to go back to, you don't want that to happen. Because over time, you know, as a relationship coach, I prefer when couples come when they're fighting like cats and dogs, because, you know, we can figure out they're reliving their parents' dysfunction. I can give them tools to fix it. But when couples have drifted apart over a decade or two, it's almost impossible to fix that. So, you know, you and your husband need to start putting each other first. How old is your youngest child?
She's 2.5.
Okay, so she's getting the age now where, you know, you and your husband have to start coming first, where, you know, you guys have time alone, see if you can beg, borrow, steal to get somebody to help you watch the kids so you can have a date night with your husband occasionally and communicate with him better. Because, you know, looks like you could use a little bit of that. There's nothing bad in your cards whatsoever. I mean, it's not like you have bad things on the horizon. It's just that 10 years from now, you may not even know who your husband is if you keep drifting apart. And do you have time to talk with him and communicate?
I guess not as much. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes I wonder if he makes me happy, though. Like,
okay, that's what I'm seeing in the cards, okay?
Yeah,
and, you know, let's talk about you. I mean, outside of your husband and your children, you know, sometimes he's not playing fully fair with you because I think he has no clue how hard it is to be a mother. And I think, do you know his dad, by the way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you like his father?
Yeah.
He wasn't always the easiest man to please. Do you know about that?
No, I had no idea. Nope.
Okay. So, you know, sometimes your husband isn't the easiest man to please. And, you know, when you're a stay-at-home mom, you know, your kids are still young, but, you know, there's something happens when you start having three American teenagers who all hate your guts, by the way, because that's what American teenagers do, and a husband who's not communicating. It's a dangerous position a decade from now. So you're being
told.
You
see us. You mean us two.
Yeah, drifting apart. And
yeah.
He's.
Well, I feel
always,
that now.
Yeah, I could see it here in the cards, and I was trying to be diplomatic because we're on the air, and I didn't know how much you wanted to spoken, but he's, you know, he loves you. There's no lack of love in these cards. He loves you, but he's taking you for granted. You know, in some ways you have his parents' marriage on your hands. I mean, his parents sort of took each other for granted.
I have said that to him before.
You've got his parents' marriage, which, you know, that's
which
the
I
old,
don't like.
No,
I don't
and
like.
I don't blame you. I don't blame it because that's the old school archetype of a marriage where no matter what, we don't leave each other. We take each other for granted. We don't even have to like each other, but nobody's leaving. That isn't a good level of love to show your children. And what's happening is, you know, I don't think you started out signing on for a man who is going to, you know, think I don't have to compliment you and I don't really have to make you feel like you're the greatest thing since sliced bread because, you know, I married you and, you know, that's it. You know, he's the kind of man. He married you. I made that commitment. Now, you must know I love you. I did that. Cool kind of caveman thinking. You know, you need him to, you know, remember that you're his lover. You're his, you know, friend. Do you make love, the two of you? You must 2.5 years ago. You had a baby, but I mean, do you guys make love? I'm not seeing
really.
A lot of that going on here. Okay.
Not
you
really.
Can, Okay, I could. You could lie to psychiatrists. You can't lie to me because the dead talk, you know. So, I mean, it's so funny. I said I'm not paid
but
to keep people.
It's partially. It's probably my.
You're tired.
My part too. Like I don't really feel like it.
Right. Okay. Because you're a woman, and women do not drop their drawers and feel like making love to a man who hasn't said a nice word to her or has criticized or, you know, the house isn't clean and this isn't done and why couldn't you do this? And
right, right.
Who wants to make
exactly.
love to the to man that's like
right.
a daddy? In other words, now he's daddy to
yeah,
a bad little
like
girl.
Yeah, he doesn't try either. He doesn't try.
No.
You know?
And
so
he's
why
forgetting,
should I
he's forgetting that a marriage is a love affair and as well as a business arrangement, as well as a community event and, a, you know, and a haven for children. But first and foremost, your relationship has to be preserved because your children will then go off and think marriage is a good thing and want to have a soulmate. If we keep showing shitty versions of marriage, they ain't going to want to do it. They're like, I'm not going to get married. I don't want this. So realize that your husband loves you. He
mm-hmm.
doesn't think you'll ever leave him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he thinks, well, you, especially because you're not working right now. So you got the old archetype of marriage where the men owned women. What can you do? You can't go anywhere. I have the money. So, you know, you have to almost gently try to change the energy that's going on between the two of you, which means, you know, you start to be the one who's kind. You start to be the one who initiates some lovemaking and maybe make him his favorite dinner. Like, you try to first change this where you're not taking each other for granted and see if he can start coming along. I mean, after a couple of months of this, he's not doing any efforts. You can say, look, I'm trying my best, but I'm not seeing this happening. And, you know, the scary part about it is, you know, 10 years from now, you might not want to be in this marriage. And, you know, you heard the women before getting divorced. Divorces happen. They happen for many reasons. But
well,
the main...
Why do you think it's because of my knee that I get fed up or something?
That you get fed up with him?
Yeah.
I think it's both of you here. I mean, I'm not seeing either one of you doing anything horrible to each other. There's no horrible sins committed.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm not seeing anything horrible. This is a fixable marriage.
I see sometimes we just don't get each other, and I don't know.
Well, that's because we forget to communicate. Isn't it funny? People living in a house, you feel like you're living with a stranger. You know, what you need to do is, you know, he thinks he knows everything about you. And you think you know everything about him. Meanwhile, you two don't know each other at all anymore. So you may want to start being who you are and how you're changing and the things that you're thinking about and what's going on in you. You know why people have affairs, by the way, for the most part? Somebody comes along, you know, you 15 years into this marriage, your kids hate you, your husband hasn't talked to you. Somebody comes around and starts talking to you. And all of a sudden, you're saying things and being a person you didn't even know you were. Hey, I didn't know I thought that. Hey, I like this person. Wow, she's interesting. Well, somebody finds me interesting. Somebody's listening to me, and it's tempting then to have an affair because this person is giving you attention, and they're thinking you're interesting. It's sort of, look, the hardest thing is having kids. I mean, kids put a really, maintaining a soulmate love when there's kids is really difficult. Okay, because you're tired, he's working, he's resenting you and the kids, he's got to work, and he doesn't want to work, he wants to come home, he wants to put his feet up, the kids are being a pain in the ass. I mean, having children puts a lot of strain on a marriage. But, you know, putting him first a little bit, do you try to please him at all anymore?
No, not at all.
Okay. And I appreciate your honesty, and it's a very typical answer with people with young children. It's nothing new. You know, it's not real. I mean, it's honest. It's new. I mean, I'm tired. But, you know, that's why you two need a little bit of a date night, one that you involve the kids in. You start saying, well, mommy and daddy are going out, and you're going to have a sitter or whatever they're going to have, and you're going to have a nice movie. Ask them, do you look pretty? Do I look nice? We're going out, and I'm having fun, and the next day share that you have fun. You need a date night. You know, you need to rekindle being in bed with each other. Do you use contraception, though?
You,
I don't want you getting pregnant with another baby.
No, that won't happen. Do you,
okay, good.
Do you see him changing if I change? Like, what are you, like, trying to say?
Well,
okay.
I see... That, you know, at first he may not want to, and then you're going to have to say, look, I've given it my all and you're not. You know, by the time Valentine's Day comes, I want you to do your best till Valentine's Day. But there's no card that says this marriage sucks, but I got to buy you a card. Like, realize that if around Valentine's Day, you want to see if you could schedule a date with him, some time with him. if he's not meeting you halfway because he's thinking this is taking for granted, you need to have a serious talk with him, which means, you know, look, I'm not going anywhere right now. We got kids and a family, but I'm not going to spend the rest of my life with a man who I'm invisible to him. It's not going to last. It's not going to work. Tell him I'm putting my cards on the table. I want
Do you see him seeing me invisible? Is that what you see?
That's what's right in here. He just sees you that you're always going to be there. Like, I don't have to water her or give her love or give her attention to help this love blossom. He just thinks, he's like his father,
that's what
his
I mean. Like, what can I do for him to give me attention? I don't think he knows how.
Well, it's kind of teaching him behavior modification. Make him his favorite dinner. You know, initiate making love to him. You initiate. You telling him I love you. Do you guys say the words anymore to each other?
No.
Okay. Okay. Now, maybe you start saying, you know, I love you. Do you love me? You know, I love you. And if he doesn't say it back right away, just say, you know, I love you. Give him a hug. Spontaneous kiss. You know, fun. Have fun with each other. Pick a show the two of you watch together that you kind of talk about. Go for a walk. Figure out something.
We don't even watch TV together anymore. He's in one room and I'm in the other.
See, that's not good.
When the kids
go
to bed,
good.
That's it.
That's not good.
Well,
now,
it's been like that for a while.
And that's because, excuse me, that's his parents' marriage. That's what it was like. You know, brother and sister after a while, not being husband and wife. So figure out, hey, hon, this is a great movie.
Is he fine with that, though? Is he fine with that?
Because it's what he saw. He is fine with it. It's what he saw. He doesn't know anything different. What was your parents' marriage like?
Who, me? Mine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they would watch TV together, and they would discuss things together. I mean, they weren't, you know, affectionate or lovey-dovey, but, I mean, they would sit together.
They were
always together. Like, his parents are never together.
Okay, that's
but
what you're
his
having.
But his father died. He's not around.
Okay, because that must have been, you know, there's a man speaking that told me about the marriage, okay?
Oh, okay. But they would never, they would always be apart.
He said they didn't communicate at all. And he said, my son is becoming me. And this man from the grave has a lot of regrets, but he could have, would have, should have done better. He could have loved her better. He loved her. He took her for granted. They just took each other for granted and drifted apart and drifted apart and drifted apart. And
so
the only way out for
following his footsteps?
He says, you got to stop this. He doesn't know why he's doing what he's doing, by the way. He really doesn't know. So
Do you think he's loyal?
You know, he loves you, but, you know, do you know him to look at porn?
What?
Do you know if he's looking at porn? Do you know what he does?
No, he doesn't do that.
Good, because at least you have hope. If they start looking at porn, so nothing but trouble.
No.
He doesn't. He looks like he's too tired. I'm not seeing him cheating. It looks like he's basically tired, the guy. You know, he's tired,
yeah.
He's a little bit bored, so... You know, why don't you start being his lover? See how that works. You know, give it your best. Do me a favor and practice some of the things we talked with him, saying, hey, hon, there's a TV show I'd like. What show are you watching? I'll come join you. See if you can't find a mutual show to watch. Start getting back. Call in about a month after you've been trying and seeing how it goes. But I'm glad you called in because you have a right to realize that this marriage is going to drift off if you're not careful. And you didn't sign on for his parents' marriage. It's not what you want. That's not a marriage.
Do you see us getting worse, though?
No, I don't see you getting worse, not
just,
if you just start implementing
just
some changes. You know?
Just the same.
I mean, it'll be sad. No, I see.
What his problem, too, is he gets offended very easily with my opinion or my feelings. Why is that?
Because maybe you're not saying it properly. Maybe you need to say first, you know, honey, I love you so much, but when you do A, B, C, D, it makes me crazy. But you know that I love you. You know, maybe saying it differently, you know, in a way.
Yeah,
you know,
but
try...
it just seems like I'm very blunt, and it just seems like he's too sensitive.
Okay,
I don't
so
get why I have to
you know what? Okay,
so...
what someone had to teach me years ago is to temper my honesty with kindness. You okay?
I don't do
temper...
that.
Okay, you know, it wasn't my strong suit either, okay? I've had to learn to temper my honesty with kindness. So try to see, look, even if you and your husband were to divorce, you can still have these bad habits and ruin another relationship. So why don't you just learn some better ways of behaving, whether it changes him or it changes you? Because you need to change some things about you so that if you ended up ending this marriage, you would know how to respond properly to another man. So look at it as you're learning
for you.
Do you
see that happening too? Do you see that happening possibly?
I see it a decade down the line here if you don't change something. You two started out loving each other. There's no reason with some simple behavior modification, you know, getting back in bed and in the same room with each other and communicating why this couldn't work. You know, you started out with something that was good. It's just not good now. But, you know, try. Remember I said earlier, a divorce is an earthquake. You know, if you can avoid that at all costs, do it. But, you know, again, you matter. The two of you just forgot that you matter. Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show and we need to shut down before it shuts us down.
Yeah, okay.
Good luck to you. Call in.
All right,
I really
thank
like
you.
I really like you, Ann. I just think you're just a nice lady. And you could see I hit you a little bit hard with stuff, and you could take it, but you're native different stuff.
No, I mean, I've had, you know, I had these ideas in my head, too, so.
I know, and that's why.
Anything new, what you're saying to me.
No. But it's funny to have a perfect stranger and the dead start confirming, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just funny.
It is a little bit funny. I always say, huh, so people know what's going on. Well, good luck to you. And we want to wish everybody
you.
A Merry Christmas. Thanks for calling in. Nicole, thank you for doing such a super-duper
thank
job. And I think
you,
we had a,
Cindy.
Now, can you see we went from, like, divorce and a relationship ending that, you know, with a soulmate that the young guy couldn't step up to the plate, to this woman
mm-hmm.
whose marriage still has a chance, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's always fight for that marriage, especially if you have children, if you could find a way, you know?
Yep.
Unfortunately, I have to help people out of marriages way too much. It's not my goal. My goal is if people started out as soulmates, can we fix this? You know,
yep.
First goal, fix it. But did you see how, you know, they just don't even watch TV together? That's sad, don't you think?
Yeah. No, definitely. But you know what, it's sad and it's unfortunate because, you know, it's like one of those things where you can tell that she's frustrated and she's just, you know, she's tired. You know, she's, you know, and he's probably the same way. But if both of them are waiting for the other to make the first step, they're both going to be waiting for a very, very long time. So, you know, in some respect, it's better that one of them take the step forward, you know, so that the other one maybe will take another step. And then hopefully, you know, before, you know, over some time, you know, who knows, maybe they'll be dancing. And if not, then at least, you know, at least Anne at least will know that she made the first move and that she tried and that if he doesn't match her effort, then she's got a more concrete answer of what's happening here.
And then what we always say is you put 2 feet back into that marriage, get in that bed, make love, be a loving partner. If that doesn't
yep.
work, then the person has to know you're willing to take 2 feet out and you're serious. Sometimes people
yep,
need to
absolutely.
Go to the brink for them to realize, you know, that, oh, man, she's not my mother. She's not going to take my crap forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd say, you know. Anne's husband better get wise and start treating her like a wife and not a mom.
Right, and not nagging and not, you know, and the thing about you people,
yeah.
they gotta chill out. You know, people, they have their standards. You know, sometimes somebody's clean is not somebody else's clean. And being a mother, you know, you clean it all day long and it's a mess. So sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's just, sometimes you're just letting the kids have fun and there's a mess. But we don't need somebody on us nagging us, you know, that we're not doing it
nope.
right or we could do it better, we could do... You know, for the most part, half the crap doesn't matter. You know, what matters when you're a mother, the kids have clean clothes, they have good food on the table, okay, and that you love them.
Yep.
You know, the rest is like, okay, if the house gets clean, that's good. Okay, if it doesn't, that's fine. You know, as long as
yep.
you know, it's clean enough, you know, it's clean enough. That's what we strive
mm-hmm.
for, clean enough. You know, I spent
agreed.
My whole life, my daughter used to say you could eat off the floors in the kitchen. But was that necessary? Did it have to be that clean? Did I have to kill myself that much?
My
no.
mother was the same way. My mother was the same way growing up. Oh, my God. I would be sitting in the living room watching television, and mid-show, it would be like a dramatic climax to something. She'd walk right in front of me, spray it down with Windex, and start wiping the whole friggin' screen down because she saw something, or she thought she saw something. I used to walk into my mother's house and get burned by bleach hitting me in the face.
Well, we, you know, as I said, we'll chill out about that kind of stuff. And you know,
exactly. Well, thankfully, again, my mother, in her older age, has gotten a lot better with that. She's still a clean freak, but at least it's within reason.
Right. And my recipe to Anne is make love. Just make a lot of love. You know, make love.
Absolutely.
Well, good
Absolutely.
Night, everybody. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. And
yes,
we'll
happy holidays
see you next
to everybody.
Year. And we love it, all our listeners. Bye.